This is a message that has been on my heart, I think, for the past 4 or 5 weeks, I think. And it really comes down to identity. So those of you who have been with us for several years now might remember when I came up here about 3 years ago to give a message in 2018. That was on Father's Day. I missed Father's Day in 2019 because I was up working at Camp Perkins. I, in fact, didn't even wish my dad a happy Father's Day. I did call him on that Sunday, but instead of wishing him a happy Father's Day, I talked to him about the message I had heard at church and completely forgot that the reason I called him was to wish him happy Father's Day. And then last year, in the craziness of the pandemic, we didn't really do much here anyway, so this has kind of been my next opportunity to come up and give a Father's Day message, even though it's not really Father's Day. I've been a little bit behind. So identity. When I came up here in 2018 to talk about what I had gone through and what all that had taught me, I realized through the course of that summer, I wasn't quite where I needed to be still. In July of 2018, I had learned a lot from what I had experienced, but I still wasn't where I am now. And 3 years has done a lot for me, growing academically, spiritually, and everything. I've even grown a little bit taller. I got my neck fixed. It was curved, and now I'm a little bit taller. So a lot's changed. And I realized that a lot of the issues that I had faced all came down to an issue I had with my own identity. What I was looking for was another person to validate my identity for me. I was looking for my identity on here on this earth, in another person, in another thing. And it took me a long time to realize that that's never going to be something that can sustain me. So I wanted to talk about maybe how we can introduce ourselves, because we live here, right? So, okay. So what are some things that kind of, 1 second, it might be battery related.
Bring both volumes down, mine and hers.
She's on my channel now. Can you bring her up? Test. Ooh, that's a lot better. Okay. So we have identifiers, right? We have things that kind of differentiate ourselves from other people. So, say I went missing. What would you put on my Walmart poster to identify me? It might be that maybe I'm 18, I've got medium to long brown hair, brown eyes, about 5'10", 5'11", maybe 150 to 160 pounds. That's how you would identify me if I went missing. Maybe I changed my physical appearance. How would you know it's me? Well, you might be able to tell by maybe the way I walk, maybe my voice, the way I talk to other people, the way I interact with people, my relationships. These are all things that identify us physically by our personality, our traits. We have these identifiers. So say I want to introduce myself. These are some things about me. My name is Grace. I'm a daughter, a sister, a friend, a student, an athlete, a woman, an Idahoan. You could add and add and add to this list. There are a ton of things about my life here on earth that define me, that are parts of my identity. But there's a difference between things that are identifiers and what your identity is. And what I had tried to do back in 2018 was root my identity in another person, root my identity in my academic standing, root my identity in how well I played volleyball. Root my identity in my friendships, where I lived, where I was going to go to school, what I was going to do. That was all of who I was. And when I lost that in April of 2018, my world collapsed. Because who was I outside of these things that I had chosen to be a part of my identity? And what I had started to realize through the course of this past year, and in 2019 especially, that there's one thing that comprises my identity. And that's my relationship with God. But I didn't have the opportunity to realize that until I was in one spot up in Camp Perkins with the same people who all shared the same set of values as I did. And we were able to sort of learn these things about ourselves. And I was able to look at myself and say, I'm a lot more than who I am here on this earth. I am a child of God. That's would I root my core identity in? But so many of the issues I see happening in this world, not only in my own life, but just generally, and in my generation especially, and the ones behind me, is that we all have an issue with our identity. And I have yet to meet a single person who hasn't struggled with this at one point in their life. Because, especially being in the church, there may be some things that go against some of the teachings of God that we do. And now what? Do we root our identity in that? And so when I watch people get offended, especially in my generation, we tend to be a little bit softer. We tend to get more offended by the things that people say to us because we root our identity in maybe politics, what we believe in politically. About our U.S. American government, I am a Democrat, a Republican, a socialist, a whatever. That's who I am. And so you're attacking me for who I am because that's my identity. So a lot of what I've seen comes down to we have an issue with identity. So when I was looking for a set of verses or even a verse or two to sort of encapsulate what I wanted to talk about, I came across this section in Colossians 3. And it's titled, in a lot of different Bibles, Living the New Life. Which was ironic to me because that's kind of what we talked about 3 weeks ago with the discussion of wineskins. But we'll go ahead and go through this real quick. So it says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. So we're asked to set our sights on heaven, not on the things of this earth. For you have died to this life here on earth, and our real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when in Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So we have a lot of things here on earth that are realities, right? Things that we can see and touch and taste and feel. Instead of setting our sights on the obvious realities here on earth, we are asked to set our sights on the realities of heaven. For we have died to our life on this earth and everything that that entails. Everything that we do, job, family, because the core of what we're asked to look at is where we're going to end up when we die, in heaven. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. So I have a question. Does anybody fall into any of these categories here in verse 7? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Anybody here fall in this group? I do. Okay, so we have a few hands, timid hands coming up. So sexual immorality, that's kind of a tough one. This is the one that people like to use to attack homosexuals. But the thing is, a lot of us are in that group as well. It means sex in any way outside of the one way that God intended, which was inside the covenant of marriage. And impurity, kind of in the same realm. And lust, I can't name very many people that I know that haven't fallen prey to lust, especially now with the images being everywhere. I think that there are very few people who could walk the Las Vegas Strip and not have anything to do with sexual immorality, lust, evil desires, or impurity. Greed is another thing that we clearly have an issue with. We just had, Jeff Bezos send himself up into the sky based on his divorce because he just has the money to do that, right? That, I think I might put that in the greed category, but that's just me. So it's another thing we have an issue with, and I may need to not get on a soapbox for this, but I see this a lot in churches. I watch these churches start to gain money, start to gain revenue, start to gain some momentum, and then it becomes just about the money for them and not about the people and not about the churches themselves. And to me, that's probably one of the most disgusting ways that greed has infiltrated our society, because to exploit the church for your own capital gain is, I'm just going to let that be where it is. So then Paul goes on to add his own footnote here. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. So if you really stop and read that, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. Well, I live here, though, and I do still do some of those things. So maybe let's keep reading. Let's see. Let's see what he says. Now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. And then it also goes on to say, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Now, if you were a timid hand or didn't raise your hand in the last one, who falls in the category of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language, or lying? Raise your hands proud. Okay. So that looks like it might be most of us. Verse 8 here kind of nailed a lot of us in this room. If verse 5 didn't get you, you probably fall in the verse 8 category. Verse 9, yeah, that's a tough one. But we're told to shed that layer. I kind of think of this as, you know, you come home from an outdoor winter activity and you're all sweaty because you got hot inside your heavy coat. And so you take off that big, heavy, sweaty coat, and instead you put on a fresh t-shirt or a new hoodie, and it just feels so much better. You're still warm, you still feel good, but you've kind of stripped off that old part of you. So this is kind of where it starts to get good. In this new life, it doesn't matter if, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Now, these words here in verse 11 are kind of ancient Israelite words. So I thought maybe we could replace them with some words that fit in 2021. So how about, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Democrat, Republican, socialist, voted for Trump, voted for Biden, voted for Bernie. And those are just politics within the United States. Let's keep going. What about Black, white, Latino, Asian, Pacific Islander, Native American? Those are just races, colors of our skin. What about gay, lesbian, bisexual, pansexual, transgender, non-binary? Ooh, just thought the room get kind of quiet. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If anybody remembers the Beatitudes we talked about, this is another kind of section, Paul's take on Beatitudes. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. If you want to learn more about love and how that encapsulates all of them, go read Corinthians. So instead, we're called to be tender-hearted, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Above all, we are called to love and forgive one another for our faults that we just mentioned. Again, did anybody not fall into one of those categories? Okay, so we're all in the same boat, right? And how am I in any position as someone who gets angry, who falls prey to lust, impurity, any of those lists, how am I in any place to judge a Jew or a Gentile? Again, ancient Israelite words. I'm not. I am instead called to forgive, to be kind, to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, because that is what it means to be Christ-like. It's not about the block you put yourself in terms of religion. It's about, I'm going to share and show this love to the people around me, regardless of how they identify themselves here on this earth. Because we are all children of God that deserve the love of God, and therefore deserve forgiveness. So as images of Christ, this is what we're asked to do. This is what we're asked to focus on. This is what we're asked to say, this matters. Not any of the other garbage, because that's not going to matter. Let's keep going. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns of spirit and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. That's a powerful thing to be asked to do, right there in verse 17. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. I think that's it. That's it. So, what I want to ask you guys to do is work on stripping off some of those identifiers. That's something I've really struggled with. I've so far done pretty well for myself in making a name for myself. Now I'm kind of stepping into a new chapter of my life. One of the things I've learned in psychology, there's a psychologist called Erik Erikson. He developed a theory of psychosocial development. And teenagers are in this stage of identity versus role confusion, which can kind of explain why a lot of people in my generation are struggling with, who am I? What is my identity? How do I want to identify myself? So now I'm stepping out of that into a new stage that's intimacy versus isolation, which is totally different. But a lot of people don't realize that your identity, you start to kind of figure that out and develop that from when you're a teenager. And if you don't start to get that right then, it's going to transfer into the rest of your life, for the rest of your life. And so that's why I kind of wanted to bring this message to you guys. I think that I've struggled a lot with trying to find something that I could speak to everyone here that could kind of sweep across a broad age range, because things that maybe speak to me may not speak to everyone else here. But identity is something that a lot of people struggle with. It's really easy to look at something we do here and make that all of who we are, but at the end of the day, the only thing, person, anything that is ever guaranteed to be in your life for the rest of your life is you and God. That's it. Anything else can change in an instant. So if you root your identity, the core of who you are, in anything else, it can and most likely will be taken from you at some point, and you will have to figure out something else to put your identity in, or you can put it in the one thing that will always, always be there for you and will never fail you, and that is God. So strip off your identifiers, whatever they are here on this earth, because we all have them. Instead, I'm asking you to step into your identity, which comes from Christ. Now, this was something that I kind of struggled with. How do you know that you're working on your identity? How do you know who you are in God? You got to get to know him. You've got to spend some time with him. You've got to get into the word, not just today, not just on Sunday, not just when you're getting all fired up because you're here, but all throughout the week in everything that you do. We can go back to verse 17, in everything that you do. And I saw this analogy that was really powerful a couple weeks ago, where this pastor had set up a cylinder, like a clear plastic cylinder, and he was putting these orange ping pong balls in it. And they were each things that people had said or things that you had done, things that maybe become part of who I am. This, you know, thing that someone said to me, maybe someone called me fat. That's one of them. I'm not intelligent, or whatever these things are. You just kind of add them up until you've filled up this entire cylinder with all these orange balls, all these mistakes, all these things that people say about me, all these things that people who don't know who they are saying about me are going into the cylinder of who I am. And this is all that anybody can see. And so what he starts to do is he says, well, you know, maybe I start reading my Bible a little more. So he takes out a pitcher of water, and he starts to pour it in. And it fills it up a little bit, but the balls don't go anywhere. It's not enough to lift them up. So maybe, you know, you start reading your word a little bit more, and you start coming to church, and you start praying a little more. And what you see is the water start to lift these ping pong balls slowly out of the cylinder. And what happens is, when you're being consistent, and you're drawing closer to God, and you're learning more about who you are and who you want to be, then you have the cylinder, instead of being filled with all these bright orange ping pong balls, it's filled with water. It's filled with the Lord. And when someone tries to take and say something to you about who you are, it can't get in because it can't get through the water. You're filled with Christ because you know who you are, but it takes that work of searching and getting to know him and starting to understand who you are and setting your sights on the things of heaven and not on the things of this earth, because those are the things that matter. Those are the things that will always be with you. And another analogy, if any of you out here are math nerds, I took calculus my junior year, and I took this very philosophically, theologically, which is kind of in my nature, but we talked about something, how 1 over infinity is equal to 0. It's not actually 0 because there is still something there. But if you put the number 1 over the infinite amount of numbers to have ever existed, it's pretty much equal to 0. And if you put that into the perspective of the life we live here on earth, the one life, the 80, 90, however many years if you get lucky, into eternity, it's equal to 0. Because our life on earth is so small and insignificant compared to the plans that God has for us in heaven. So why wouldn't we set our sights on the things of heaven? When we set our sights on the things here on earth, those are all things that are going to end up falling away eventually. So I'm asking you to strip off your earthly identifiers and instead come into your identity, which comes from Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that we are all here today. I thank you for the opportunity that we all somehow ended up here in this church together with you today. I thank you that we are all your children. We will inherit your kingdom one day when that day comes, and that you have wrapped us all up into your arms, that you love us. Please remind us on a daily basis to step into who we are in you and not into who we are here on earth. Remind us of how much you love us, how much you care for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.